Thank you, Brother Phipps. What a blessing he is to us many times, and especially today. We thank the Lord for that. 54 years, Worth Baptist Church, all to the glory of God. Amen. And we thank the Lord for those 54 years. Bob Barber was the founder of the church, Dr. Raymond Barber's brother. How many of you came into the church while he was pastor? Would you stand, any of you? Do we have any that came in the church? Oh, yeah, we have quite a few. Then just stand up, if you would, please. That's great. And praise the Lord for it. Let's give them a hand. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, and be seated. Now, how many of you joined the church or got saved, came into this church under Dr. Barber's ministry? Would you stand, please? Man, that's a bunch of you. Let's give them a hand. And how many of you have come into the church in the last almost 11 years since I showed up on the scene? Would you stand, please? Man, that's pretty good, too. We thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you. We give all the glory to God. I promise you that. God has blessed this church. And by the way, it's still what it was when it started. And that's because they had a great leader for 35 years, Dr. Raymond Barber. And he kept it right where his brother started it and just kept right on preaching the Word of God. Strong missions program. Preaching out of the best version there is, as far as I'm concerned, the only one, the KJV. Preaching the Word of God right out of that. And staying true to soul winning and true to the Word of God and the separatist position, fundamentalist position. We're not ashamed of that. And we're very honored to have Mrs. Barber. You stand, please. Let's give her a hand, Mrs. Raymond Barber. Behind every good preacher and pastor is his wife. If not, he's in a heap of trouble. I promise you that. And then Dr. Raymond Barber. Let's give him a great welcome as he comes today. God bless you, guys.
I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath high exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord of glory is his name. The Lord of glory, his title of fame. The Lord of glory, he ransomed me. The Lord of glory, his face I'll see. The Lord of glory, the sinner's friend. The Lord of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The Lord of glory is coming again. Well, what a joy it is to be in God's house. I could not tell you the joy that thrills me and fills my soul this morning. When I look back 54 years ago, of course, I was just a boy then. I'm in my 57th year of the ministry. I started a long time ago. But I recall when Bob, my brother, gathered a few people together on Wichita Street. Omar, you remember, he'll remember that. And Bob, you and Bob are about the same age, and both of you are old men. But I remember when they gathered that little group together and started this church. And who knows, only eternity will reveal the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people that were saved and have been saved and are being saved through the ministry of this church. I feel humbled this morning that I can be a part. And this has happened every year since Dr. Weaver became pastor. I think that's a marvelous thing. But I can tell you, I know some churches where the former pastor can't even go on the grounds. Not even welcome. And this man has welcomed and honored me. And not only on anniversary day, I'll be preaching on Easter too, so get ready. And then through the year, I've preached so many times and God has been so good. Pastor, I don't take that for granted. Thank you for it. And God bless your ministry. And you, dear brethren, some of you fought some hard battles, and I know it. And I praise God for what he's done through you and your ministries. And all of you lay people. You know, when I get on an airplane, before I ever get on a plane, I always look at the ground crew. Because I know that the pilot's not going to get that plane off the ground if it isn't for the ground crew. So I'm looking in the faces of the ground crew. Some of you look real ground and some of you look real crew. But anyway, I praise God that you helped the pilot get the plane off the ground and get it flying through the air. God is so good. Amen. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. While you're finding your place, perhaps I should remind you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth. Amen. I read verse number 28 after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, we are grateful again for all of your blessings and benedictions and bonuses. Give us permission to read your holy word. Give us permission to preach it. It is so precious, so powerful, so perfect, so pontifical. We feel that we're unworthy even to handle the word of God. So as it is proclaimed, may the Holy Spirit use it as a sharp sword, as a scalpel, as a fire, as a hammer. And may we be reminded that the days are drawing near for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So may we live in readiness for that hour, is our prayer in his name and for his sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9 at verse number 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, the world of the 21st century is on a collision course. Could I tell you that the United States of America is on a collision course? Without divine intervention, where will we be? There are problems diplomatically, socially, economically, religiously, and politically. But I want to tell you that whatever the outcome of the elections on Tuesday, or in November, God is still on his throne. They cannot dethrone him. They cannot shell his temple, nor dynamite his throne. They cannot bomb his city, nor rob him of his own. They cannot take him captive, nor strike him dumb nor blind, nor starve him to surrender, nor make him change his mind. They cannot cause him panic, nor cut off his supplies. They cannot take his kingdom, nor hurt him with their lies. Though all the world be shattered, his truth remains the same. His righteous law is still potent, and God is still his name. Amen. Though we face war and struggle, and feel their goad and rod, we know above confusion, there will always be our God. Amen. Above the hustle and bustle of a busy life, above the grinding wheels of industry, above the clattering noise of the machine twirling into outer space, one can hear with the ear of faith the sound of the distant trumpet. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now the sound of the trumpet, ladies and gentlemen, will do two things. Number one, it will change the complexion of the earth. Could I tell you that once the trumpet sounds, the earth will never be the same again. Turf will tumble. Soil will swell. Dirt will disappear. Earth will evaporate. Bones will blossom. And bodies will breathe again on the great getting up morning of the resurrection. There's a second thing that will take place. The character of our decaying civilization will be revolutionized as the Antichrist takes the reins of government. But thank God, before the Antichrist comes on, Jesus is going to come down and take us up to be with him. And we shall sit around the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Pass the peanut butter, please. Or we shall rejoice with him in his land that's fairer than day. Ladies and gentlemen, I call on you to hear it. Believe it, accept it, affirm it, advertise it, accentuate it, accent it, announce it, anticipate it. Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. Jesus Christ is coming soon. It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. It may be at midday. It may be at twilight. It may be perchance the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh, how long, Lord Jesus, how long? And we shout the glad song, Christ returneth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And here's a happy note. Jesus Christ is coming for his own. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm going to be preaching from the subject, the second coming of Christ. Maybe you've already deducted that truth. Let's take a look at history. History reveals and is characterized by the events of many, many outstanding days. The day that God created man in his own image. The day that Noah entered the ark to preserve the human race. The day that Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The day that a boy named David was crowned king of Israel. The day that Elijah stepped aboard a flaming chariot and God whisked him away to heaven. The day that the eternal word was made flesh and Jesus was born of a virgin. The day that the Lamb of God for sinners slain died on dark Calvary, shedding his own precious blood to wash away your sins and mine. The day that Jesus Christ arose triumphantly over death, hell, and the grave. The day that Peter preached his famous sermon and 3,000 souls were saved. The day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door and boldly, bravely, unapologetically declared to the world, I shall not recant, so help me God, here I stand. The day that the pilgrims landed on these shores to build a nation under God. Ladies and gentlemen, all of these days were momentous days, marvelous days, matchless, magnificent days. But let me tell you, beloved, the day of all days, the day for which we look and long, the day for which our hearts are beating and our souls are longing, is the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. The prophets prophesied his coming. The apostles preached his return. Jesus himself promised his return. The angels proclaimed his return. Come with me to yonder Mount of Olives. When our Lord Jesus had finished his earthly ministry and had given the final charge to his disciples to take the gospel around the world, the Bible says when he had spoken these things, a cloud received him out of their sight. And they stood there longingly looking for the one whom they had loved and with whom they had spent these 3 or 3.5 years together. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that there appeared unto them 2 men dressed in white apparel. You better watch these guys that are dressed in white apparel. They got a message for you. And they said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you see taken away from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go away. This same Jesus, whose birth was announced by the angels to the shepherds yonder in Bethlehem. This same Jesus, whose wisdom compounded him and used him to defy the lawyers, the doctors in the temple there in Jerusalem. Same Jesus whose compassion moved him to heal the sick, to open the eyes of the blind, to unloose the dumb tongues and unstop the deaf ears and unravel the graves that the dead should live again. This same Jesus whose sacrificial, substitutionary death upon the cross brings life eternal to all who believe. This same Jesus whose resurrection brought life and immortality to light. This same Jesus whose ascension into the heavens guarantees our entry into the glory world. This same Jesus whom you see taken away from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And ladies and gentlemen, I hasten to tell you that this is not the word of an environmentalist or an economist or an ecologist or a philosopher or a psychiatrist or a scientist or a diplomat or a politician or a pundit or an educator or a regulator or a dictator or a prognosticator. This is the word of a living God. And the living God is true, who by his word created the heavens and the earth. This same Jesus whom you see taken away will come again in like manner as you've seen him go. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. And I should tell you that it is not a question of if Jesus is coming, but a question of when Jesus is coming. Many things are happening in our day to set the stage for his return. I give you Paul's commentary in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, Paul says, turn away. And ladies and gentlemen, these things are in your newspapers and on your television screen every day. These things are happening before our eyes. God's word tells us further that the days prior to his return would be characterized by apostasy and unbelief. Listen to Peter's bold declaration in 2 Peter chapter 3. He wrote, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Peter goes on to say, these scoffers were ignorant of the scriptures. By the way, he said they were willingly ignorant. You know, it's one thing to be ignorant, but it's another thing to be willingly ignorant. These, Peter said, are willingly ignorant that the world that then was standing in water and out of water perished. They were ignorant of history. They were ignorant of the universal flood in Noah's day. They were ignorant of prophecy. The Bible says that the earth will be burned up and all the elements will melt with fervent heat. They were ignorant of God's timetable. Remember what Peter said in that same chapter? He said, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. Now do the math. Jesus has been gone home 2,000 years. In God's timing, that's only 2 days. And we all know that some exciting things happen on the third day. Let me tell you, my friend, this world system in which we live is headed for a holocaust, a crash, a horrible, horrible explosion. But you know, as believers, we should not be discouraged. We should not despair. We should not be despondent or depressed or anxious. We should not be confused or overwhelmed or afraid. Because the Bible tells us that in those days, in the midst of all the consternation, in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the confusion, we should take courage. Jesus himself said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The question is not that we should be asking is not, what is this world coming to? We should be asking the question, who is coming to this world? And I hasten to tell you without any hesitation or reservation or equivocation or fear of contradiction that Jesus Christ is coming to this world. How do I know? He said so. I believe every word he said. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When you quote Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about being misquoted. Let me quote him from John 14 at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ladies and gentlemen, the one bridge to sanity in this insane world is the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have written guarantee, by the way. In Titus chapter 2, Paul said, "For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." We're living in a day of unparalleled and unprecedented opportunity. God's invitation is extended to all men. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The last invitation in the Bible is all inclusive. John wrote it in Revelation 22 at verse number 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Ladies and gentlemen, the red carpet of God's marvelous grace is stretched to the door of every member of Adam's wretched, ruined, rebellious race. And salvation is open, wide, and free. The welcome mat is out. The day of grace is now. Every man on planet Earth is invited to come to Calvary. Come to Christ. Come to the cross. "O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, let him come and buy without money and without price." I remember, and this is back in the dark ages. Oma, you'll remember this, of course. And Ray, you'll remember this. When we were in Dr. Insminger's class, he taught us a little chorus. "I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free." And it is, ladies and gentlemen. And God is still in the saving business. The gospel is being preached faithfully, forcefully, fervently, firmly. The good news is being flashed across the screen of time from sunrise to sunset. But I must warn you that when Jesus comes, listen, the sun will set forever on the day of grace. The world will be plunged into the night of eternal darkness. And the door of opportunity will be closed forever. Tell you, you have an appointment with a judge of the universe. If you're here today without Christ, you're under a death sentence. And your number may come up next. The Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment." I should tell you that one of the most important elements of salvation is the time element. God says 6:3, right up front. He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." The wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." He wrote in Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I'm bold enough to tell you, my friend, that you're only one heartbeat away from eternity. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come, Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as are now ready. Let me tell you, my friend, hear this now. Today belongs to you. Tomorrow belongs to God. I have one final verse. If you've missed everything that I've said, please don't miss this. John wrote it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, watch this, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now I have a heart-to-heart personal question. Can I get personal? I mean, after all, I think I've earned the privilege of getting personal once in a while around here. I want to get personal. Is there anything in your life, if Jesus were to come today, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Is there anything about sin of which you would be ashamed if Jesus were to come today? Let's stand, please, for our prayer. The altar is always open. You don't have to wait until we sing or pray. God has spoken to your heart. All our heads are bowed, and I want you to listen very carefully. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. But I just want to ask you another question. I get personal again. How many of you would say this morning, preacher, God has used his word to speak to my heart today? Would you put your hand up real high if God has spoken to you? God bless you. God bless you. Who would say this morning, I have a prayer need in my life. I'm not going to ask you what it is. Nobody's going to ask you. If you want to share it with someone who's at the altar working, fine. But you could slip out of your seat. You lifted your hand. God has spoken to your heart. Even if you didn't lift your hand, if God has spoken to your heart, and there's a prayer need in your life, something that you need to talk to God about. You said he spoke to you. Would you come and speak to him for a moment around an altar prayer? Just step right out of your seat. You don't have to wait for somebody else. You don't even have to wait for the song that we'll be singing in a moment. But if God has spoken to your heart, come and talk with him. Father, speak to all of us now, in this moment. May the Lord Jesus be crowned in our lives. We know he's coming again. Help us to live in readiness for his return. Help us to live, Heavenly Father, as though we knew he were coming today. And this would be the last service that we'd attend on earth. May we have judgment day honesty. And may the Lord Jesus be crowned in all of our lives. In his name I pray. While our heads are bowed, while the choir sings the invitation appeal and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, why don't you come and join these who've already come? Just step right out of your seat. That's right. God bless you.